Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast for Love Month 2020. Powerful Love Month. And we have my father back on the line for another episode. How's it going, John Butcher?
Going good, Jordan. How are you doing?
Doing excellent. Very excited for Love Month.
Me too.
Truly one of your shining categories. I mean, people look up to you in this category, maybe more than any of the others, man.
Yeah, well, this is our favorite category, and we've put the most time and effort into it, and it's our favorite because it's the most important to us. So I love it every time June comes around because, well, first of all, Missy's birthday's in June, which is always a little added bonus. But you know, it's an entire month that I get to focus on the most important thing in my life, which is my love for the woman I'm crazy about.
Absolutely. And this month, we've got a great episode. We are really digging into what it takes to form an extraordinary love relationship like the one you have built. So we have a list of questions here. We have some from members. We have some from myself. And it's a bit of a love quiz. I'm just going to run down these questions and you're going to tell me quick and dirty, pardon the pun, the answers to these questions. You ready to go?
I am, but I have to warn you that some of the questions, because you sent them over to me before this call, some of these questions I'm going to give more than one answer to because it's like just impossible for me to narrow it down to one in some of these areas.
Awesome. Okay, let's do this. First question, what is the top love relationship that you admire?
That's a great question. And, you know, Jordan, truthfully, Missy and I have not had very many examples of an absolutely extraordinary love relationship to model our relationship after. However, we have had two. The first is Missy's mom and dad, Levi and Catherine. They are in love. They've been married for, 50 some years, I think. And those two are just the cutest couple ever. He met her when I think they were 15 and 16 when they met. They got married, I think, at 17 and 18, which was like in the mid-16th century or something. And they never looked back, right? They are so in love and so cute. And so they're really one of our model relationships. And then the other big one was Nathaniel and Devers Brandon, our mentor Nathaniel Brandon, and his wife of 27 years, Devers, who are two of our best friends in the world. They were so instrumental in so many ways for me and Missy. But like I said, we haven't really had a lot of role models in this area, but we're so grateful for the two that we really have had.
And no wonder that Missy was, you know, she has that to look up to. She has that love relationship to model after.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I don't know what we would have done without them because I had no clue. I didn't even know what a functional relationship looked like, let alone, you know, a deeply loving relationship.
Wow.
So I'm just so grateful that Missy came from a home where, you know, she had that and she could see that and she wanted to model that. I don't know where I'd be without that.
And I think that highlights the importance of the work that we all need to do, especially if we're going to be having children. You know, this is the example that we're going to set that's going to set the ripple effect to basically form the society that we live in.
So 100%. Yeah, in other words, when your kids get asked the question that I got asked just now, give me one of your model love relationships. You want them to say my mom and dad.
Yes, exactly. That is so true.
Sure.
Put that in your life book, folks. I love that. All right, let's jump into the next question because we got quite a few here. Favorite date night strategy. I think you've talked about this before, but let's dive a little deeper. And I have a feeling you're going to have a couple answers for this.
Yeah, I refuse to answer this with one question. All right, I'm gonna give you some deep ones, and then I'll give you some super simple ones. One of the funnest things that I ever did for Missy on our date night or date in Chicago was basically, Jordan, I don't know if you know about this. You might. I put together a scavenger hunt for her. What I did was I went to 7 or 8 different stores and I bought little gift cards at these stores. Like one was Aldo's shoes, one was Victoria's Secret for lingerie, one was Ghirardelli's chocolate. There was a gourmet food store.
I think I do remember this. That's
right.
Awesome.
And so it was an entire shopping day, but there was no money involved. And I gave her an envelope. And in that envelope were 7 envelopes, all numbered. And so she had her starting point, which was our condo. She opened the first one and it said, go to Aldo, buy some shoes for this evening, And when you're done, open the next card. The next card centered to Victoria's Secret, then to the bath store to get all kinds of, you know, bath stuff and candles, then to the champagne, then to the chocolate. And so it was an entire, by the end of the day, she was exhausted, but she went on this little scavenger hunt, ended up back at the condo, and we used all that stuff. We had the most amazing sensual night.
Oh, that's great.
And wow. Then, I mean, that was such a great idea that we literally started doing it for friends that came into town, for couples that we knew and loved. Like if someone would come and visit us from the West Coast or something, we'd hand them this little scavenger hunt. It'd keep them busy all day. They'd end up at their hotel at the end, having the most romantic night of their life. That was a wonderful strategy.
Love it, man. Game changer. All right, hit me all with right, the next
here,
one.
Here's a couple more. Here's a couple more. Whenever you're on a date night, and sometimes if you go to a really nice restaurant, the waiter or waitress will ask you, are you celebrating a special occasion tonight? Usually they don't. But every single time we get asked, we say, yes, tonight's our anniversary. Or sometimes when I make the reservation, I'll tell them it's our anniversary tonight, so we want a really special thing. Now, I'm not saying our wedding anniversary. I'm saying it's got to be our one-year anniversary of something awesome, right? So this is the anniversary of our first kiss, or it's the anniversary of, I remember a year ago, I walked down the stairs and looked at you and you look so beautiful, and it's the anniversary of that. It's like, it doesn't matter what it is. If you tell the restaurant that you have the reservation at that it's your anniversary, you're either going to get free dessert or you're going to get free champagne. You're going to get free something in the course of that night. And so that's a little trick that we use a lot when we go out.
Hold on. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard, because you're not, that's not a life hack to save money. You could afford the champagne. You want them to treat you
exactly the
way they should be treating a special love relationship like yours. So what you do is you don't technically lie.
No. It's pushing the envelope.
Deception. And I'm sure you leave a nice big tip. That's just so weird, dude. That sounds like something a cheap life hack.
I'll tell you what that is. It's exactly right. The attention, and it's just a little special thing.
Dude, that's great.
It sort of one-ups that night, right? Here's another awesome thing that I did once in Chicago that's easy to do and so friggin' impressive. So how we used to do our dates is I would go into the city, into our condo a day before Missy, and get some focused work done without the kids and really be able, and then she would join me the next day and we'd have our full date, and then we'd go back home. So one day I went to the city before Missy came, and I went to some of her favorite clothing stores, just little boutique stores. And I went in and talked to the people that worked there. I said, you know, my wife is 5'4". She's slim, petite, brunette, blah, blah. Help me find some things that she might like. I went to 3 or 4 stores and literally worked with the people there to set clothes aside for her when she came. So the next day she got to the city and we're going to go out on our date. And it's like, miss, I'm going to take you clothes shopping just to a couple stores this afternoon. Walked in. Hello, Mr. Butcher. So nice to see you. One of those stores served a champagne. They already had all the dresses picked out that she would look perfect in. And so it was just like this curated shopping experience where she was treated like a queen, didn't have to look through the racks because we'd already done that. And that was pretty cool.
Wow, man. That's epic.
It was epic.
You have a couple more, right? I feel like there's one that's missing here that I can.
Okay, well, I'm going to do one more, and then you're going to remind me if I haven't thought of the one that you're thinking of.
It's the one. Go ahead.
No, I don't think it is.
Oh, God.
Here's what it is. No, brace yourself. No, see, this is weird because we're talking about mom and dad to this guy. Yeah. All you listeners know. We're talking about mom and dad. So, but anyway, one of our favorite things to do before our date was foreplay, in the sense that we've got 3 days before our date. So now I'm going to start leaving you little love notes telling you how I can't wait until Thursday. And it's only Monday, but I'm going to just start leaving little clues around and little flowers, and same with her, with my coffee in the afternoon. And it's just foreplay to, and I'm not talking about physical, although there can definitely be that too. But I'm just talking about, we want to increase the energy and the excitement and just how much we're looking forward to this date. So we used to do seriously 2 or 3 days of can't wait till Thursday, can't wait till Thursday. And then finally when Thursday came, almost always delivered.
Oh God.
But what was the one you were thinking of, JB?
I actually want to dig down a little bit deeper on that. That sounds like you are really trying to instill delayed gratification into your relationship. There is nothing worse than squeezing in sex time during baby's nap.
Oh, zero.
And not, I mean, man, this, that is, I think
zero.
That didn't trigger me at all, man. You've hit me with way worse on this podcast. Let's be honest. That's great advice, man. That's it's the same reason why you shouldn't be going out to a steakhouse every night. You want to put it on the calendar for once a month, twice a month. So it's a really special occasion, man. That's exactly right,
Jordan. And then I'll tell you what we used to do during the big, sort of 20-year span of our love relationship before we stepped into this next phase of our life is we used to have a very structured rhythm for our sex life. And that's exactly what you're just talking about right now. It was our Thursday dates and Sunday afternoons. It was basically twice a week. And as turned on as we might get with each other, we're gonna abstain because Thursday's coming and we're gonna make it a blowout experience. And that worked so beautifully for us for those couple decades.
That's interesting, man. That's really interesting to apply.
We
that
make
to
ourselves wait. Right. So those are my,
I remember you doing a whole long list of 32 things you love about Missy. And
that is the answer to a different question.
Oh, my gosh. So the reason why I was bringing
your next one, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something that my wife did for me is she bought me a special deck of cards because I am a semi-professional poker player. And she wrote something I love or something she loved about me on each of the 52 cards.
Oh, that's probably amazing. The most
romantic present I've received. But you've now intrigued me. Let's jump on to the next question here. What is your most epic love trip, love vacation, travel experience?
But, you know, Jordan, that one is so friggin' hard too because I do have an answer to it, but I want to qualify it. So I wrote an article years and years ago, maybe, I don't know, 7 years ago, about our most romantic trip. And I picked Santorini, Greece, just because it was so friggin', I mean, Europe is amazing for romance anyway, and Santorini is just a super special place. Mm-hmm. But as I'm thinking back on our 30 years together, and like the first time we ever went to Myanmar, which is a country situated in between Thailand and India, that is just one of the most epic, the first time we went to Myanmar, the first time we went to Cambodia, countries like that, they were not tourist countries. They were just opening up. They had bad governments. They were just coming out of dark periods. And so it was like the Wild West. And like Missy and I have had some amazing romantic adventure trips, which is why I hate to sort of just discount those incredible experiences in favor of, you know, a more normal trip to Greece.
Different vibe.
But I got to tell you, when I think about it now, is in 2020, it's got to be the trip to Paris that we took about 3 or 4 years ago. No, it was at the end of 2015. And Miss and I have been to Paris, you know, a dozen times at least. And it's one of it's the world's most romantic city, I think, pretty much quantifiably. But that trip was absolutely magical. We'd been together for 25 years and something happened on that. It was a 10-day trip to Paris. We were just so in love. We were so turned on. We were just so in the zone. We spent 10 days together in the City of Lights, just not even believing the level and depth of love and emotion and passion that we were feeling for each other. You know, getting ready to go into our fourth decade together. So that's what I got to say about that.
Is that the trip that you did that present on?
No, but I'll tell you what I did after we got home from that trip. I painted a huge painting. I painted a 12-by-4-foot painting using photographs from that trip. Because it was so extraordinary from a love romance perspective that I wanted to capture it forever. So I got a giant painting that was in our bedroom in Chicago and will be in our bedroom here in Hawaii when we get it done, that sort of memorialized that trip. It's traveling in general. It's hard for me to identify one trip. That's probably that stands out above all others. But I would say that the travel that Missy and I have done, not just romance travel by ourselves, but a lot of travel with you kids. Like remember the summer that we spent on the boat in the Mediterranean?
Oh, I'll never forget that, man. That's right. Sailing around the south of France and docking in Italy. And yeah, I'll never forget that trip.
We've learned more. We've had more epic experiences. Travel is the number one way that we educate ourselves. It's the number one way we educated our kids. We love it so much. It does so much for you. There's only one other strategy that affects every category of your life as positively as travel does in our DNA. And this wouldn't be for everybody, but it is for us. And that's meditation. Meditation has a positive effect on all 12 categories. And travel, world travel, can also have that same kind of an effect.
I would love to put together a visual chart of some sort of visual representation. I need to work with Oliver or something. Some sort of visual representation of the 12 categories and then the certain things that overarch them. Like you said, the meditation kind of gratitude sits atop a couple categories and see if we can work like some sort of visual representation. Cause I love what you just said and I can almost see it in my brain. Have you ever thought about that? Doing some sort of life book art?
I'll tell you, one of the things that we're going to be able to do once we get our technology built that we've envisioned is we're literally going to be able to scientifically identify the strategies that have the biggest impact on increasing the scores across the 12 categories, because we've got members' assessment scores, and then we find out what strategies they're using to create those scores. We can track strategies back to results, and then we can share them with the entire Lifebook community. And that's one of the highest visions of Lifebook, and that's coming soon. And I think that we're going to be able to make personal development discoveries that so far have never been able to happen before.
Oh, man.
Really excited.
Love that. Listen, we have some more questions here, so we got to move on. Sure. Great love strategies that did not work for you, but might be perfect for other couples.
Okay, so here's something that Missy and I have tried and just not been able to make go. But we have a lot of really, wonderful couples that are super in love, that are super high quality couples that love doing this kind of stuff. Personal development seminars or conferences where you go out and you travel to another city, stay in a hotel, and you learn and grow together. Like, we've tried that, and it's like we're looking at each other in the middle of this crowd listening to it, and it's like, why are we not in our hotel room right now? Why are we not out having fun or whatever? It just doesn't work for us. But we've got dear, dear friends that, like, that's a pillar of their love relationship. We've tried it,
right?
Because we could see the incredible value that would be. But you know what? At the end of the day, Jordan, that's not our learning modality. Our learning modality is audio. You got to kind of figure out whether it's video, audio, reading, live experience. We all learn differently, right? Mm. And just at the end of the day, after all these years, we've discovered that live conferences are not our preferred way of learning. We're more sort of solitary when it comes to study. And so when we go on a date, it ain't going to be to a Deepak Chopra seminar.
That's really interesting, because you're right. It has to be powerful. But we're the same way. Me and my wife, we don't learn together. We learn separately. But we have separate interests a lot of the time. What she studies is not the same as what I study. So I also fall in line with that 100%.
But you know what we do? And we're exactly like you guys. We study different things. We learn separately, but we also love getting downloads from each other. Miss loves when I talk about history. I love when she talks about the spiritual stuff that she's studying.
That's true.
So it's nice to have a communication, even though you're doing it separately.
That's very true. I have something to kind of comment here that doesn't quite go in line with the question exactly, but I think it's relevant. So I'd like to share it. I think it's critical to understand your love languages, how you express love. And I think that really determines a lot of the time your habits, your love habits. So for instance, with me and my wife, her main love language is quality time. My love language is physical touch. A lot of staying in, a lot of massaging, sexy time, not a lot of going out, doing things, things like that, shared experiences, less gift giving, things of that nature.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is looking back to when we used to live more around you guys and we would all spend time together, me, my wife, you and Missy. And I got to thinking, we wouldn't go out every weekend because that's too much. But you guys would hit us up 4 times a year and you would say, oh, we have tickets to a concert.
Yep. We have hockey game.
Hockey game. Yeah. Stand-up comedy.
The Four Seasons.
Totally. So listen, like I said, every weekend, that's too much for us. That would never work in our life. But if we do it 4 times a year with another couple and kind of dabble in their strategies, it's an epic, memorable experience. So I think it's important to like find your love language, fall into your rhythm, but then don't be afraid to kind of dabble in other people's strategies on occasion to keep it spicy. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense, Jordan. And here's another thing, is that the things that you really enjoy doing together will change over the years. Like, we're in a whole different thing right now. We live on a remote Pacific island. There's no more going out to the big city. Like, if you ask me what's one of your favorite date night strategies right now, we've been on this island for the last 18 months, I'd say probably cooking for Miss. I love cooking for Miss. She gets so delighted when I cook for her. It makes her so friggin' happy. And so like we're staying in now because that's where we are. So it also changes over time, JB, depending on, I think your age has something to do with it. I also think that your geographic location has something to do with it.
And your stage in life, right? I think that also affects
100%.
Some of the earlier questions we've covered, you know, favorite date night strategy. It's not a shopping spree. Now, you know, Missy's putting together her nature artwork.
Exactly.
That's what it's very interesting, man. The way things evolve like that. That's true.
Yep.
That's true. Let's see. We've got two more questions here. Okay. This is maybe the biggest one. We're just going to dig right into it. When it comes to the recipe of extraordinary love, what is the single most important ingredient?
Oh man. You know, I don't think that I can define the single most important ingredient, but I do think that I can identify the foundational ingredient, the thing that you need to have if you're even going to get in the game.
Oh, this the is like mixing the end, bowl. Right? Yeah, totally. Yeah. You got to pull out the mixing bowl.
Table stakes. Okay. So the first thing you need to know is an extraordinary love relationship. And let me just define that. An extraordinary love relationship to me means the couple adore, the individuals in the relationship absolutely adore each other. They have maintained a level of, doesn't necessarily need to be passion. That's one of our channels. It doesn't have to be passion. It's emotional intensity. However that manifests for you, whatever your version of that is, can be deep, stable love. It can be super hot, you know, sensual love. It can be whatever it is, but it's where you're able to maintain that intensity level that goes away so quickly for most couples over a period of decades, right?
Right.
It's rare. That is very, very, very rare. You almost never see that. And that's why I say that the table stakes, the foundational ingredient, is that both people in that relationship must absolutely want it and they must commit to it. Meaning, we both desire to create an extraordinary love relationship. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to discover the strategies, the behaviors, et cetera, that we need to engage in order to make this happen. And we're going to do it. In other words, this stuff doesn't happen by accident. And I found that most people don't even know that this is a choice in life. And I think that even a lot of the couples that have been through Lifebook, they look at it and they're like, that's just too much work for me. In other words, they don't even want it. And then when even those who might want it, they're sometimes they have trouble doing the things that are required to get it, meaning letting their guard down, letting go of the baggage they brought into the relationship, letting go of the insecurities, letting go of the need to be right all the time so that there's always arguments, letting go of all the things that need to go away if you want to clear the decks and have a beautiful communion with another human being like what I'm talking about. Both people have got to commit everything they have to it, push all their chips in, go all in, and make it happen. And that is a very, very rare thing.
Wow, man. I never really thought about that, which is, I mean, I don't think that, it's interesting you use the word baggage because it's not so much about curing yourself of everything, right? You still have work to do. You still have growing to do, but you set your priorities. You set that shit aside, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You do it because you've seen a vision of the thing that can give you the most ecstasy in your life, that you've seen a vision of this way to live that's just so injected with love and support and you know, all the things that we create in this beautiful love relationship, that's like, I hate to use this word anymore, but that's like a trump card. That literally is what, you know,
yeah,
that's your incentive for doing whatever it takes to get there. The bottom line is that if you can achieve something like what Missy and I have worked so hard to achieve, you've achieved the holy grail of being a human being on this planet, and anything is worth that. I've got a quote in my life book right now. Let me get to it. Hold on.
Please.
This is a quote by Erica Jung. She said, "Love is everything it's cracked up to be. It really is worth fighting for, being brave for, risking everything for." That's how I feel. Oh, that's how Missy feels. So we're all in, and we've created this amazing thing, and it's the most important thing in our life, and it radiates out to every other aspect, to our parenting, to our health and fitness, to our business, to our financial life, to our emotional and spiritual life. This is the core of who we are, and we couldn't be more grateful, and we couldn't be more proud.
Wow.
Because this took work. It didn't happen by accident.
Jeez. I felt an epiphany hit me in the side of the head there.
Woo!
I feel like I could hear it. That's incredible, man. I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless.
JB. It was kind of hard for me to put that into words, because it's hard to put these things into words. Words have trouble expressing some of these super deep, you know, feelings.
You're so right. You're right, man. Well, I think you did just about as good a job as anyone could hope. I can hear the Lifebook audience with their slow clap now. Listen, man, let's jump on to this last question.
Okay.
Little bit of a left turn here. What's the number one way for singles to attract love into their life?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of study on that, and I'll talk about some serious work that we put into that channel. But before I do that, I'm going to give you a Nathaniel Brandon quote. Here's what Nathaniel Brandon said about that. He said, if you're looking for the love of your life, if you're single and you're out there looking for the love of your life, there's two questions you need to ask and answer. The first question is, who do I need to become to attract that person? And the second question is, what do I need to do to find her or him? Who do I need to become, and what do I need to do? As a matter of fact, those two questions probably work for any friggin' problem we could ever face in our entire life, right?
I think that's the point, is you kind of are treating it more simple than the average person. That sounds like something you do for a job interview.
Let me tell you the hard work that we did on the issue of how does a single attract the love of their life. It was with our dear friend Sandra Garris, who was president of Lifebook for 6 or 7 years. And when she came to us and said, "John and Missy, I'm serious. I'm in my mid-40s. I really want to meet the love of my life, and I'm serious about it." And so we worked with her for 3 months, and she found the love of her life, and she's married, and just, you know, she got her dream life. And there's a specific methodology in Jordan. We can get this methodology to the, if you're listening to this podcast right now and you haven't read Sandra's story, it literally shares the entire strategy that we helped Sandra put together to find the love of her life. And truthfully, the two questions were, who do I need to become, and what do I need to do? Those were the two questions. But basically what we did is this. I'm going to give the fundamental. I'm not going to go through the entire methodology. I want to find a way. Here's what I'll do. I'll make sure that you have the links that you need to link to this, Jordan, so that our life members can see it. Okay. So that's a given. But here was the basic thing. Sandra was president of Lifebook. She was working for us, and she came to us and said, "This is the most important goal I have." And we said to her, "Well, Sandra, we know how you spend your time. And if this is your most important goal in life, it is not reflected in how you spend your time, because we get emails from you until 9 o'clock. And we know how you work for us. We know how you spend your time. So if you're going to say this is the most important thing in my life, then you have to demonstrate that. through your energy and your focus.
Right.
So the first thing we got her super clear on is if this is your most important goal, you have really got to commit to spending time on it. And then from there, it just turned into the most amazing strategy. And within 6 months, she had found the love of her life, and he did not look like who she thought he would look like. She thought she was going to be marrying some executive from some corporation, and the perfect love for Sandra was a manly man who drove a big friggin' truck, who was a foreman of a steel mill and treated her like a friggin' queen. Bruce, who we love so much. And so that story is like an epic story in life book, and we'll link to it. But I'm going to stand by my original answer, courtesy of Nathaniel Brandon. The two most important questions are, who do I need to become to have a love relationship like this? And what do I need to do to find my partner?
Those are powerfully the two simple, man. Powerfully yeah. simple. I love it. That wraps it. You survived the love quiz. I'm calculating your score now. Your love quotient is 98 out of 100. So you are.
Bam!
That, my friend. No, listen. Thank you for sharing this. I love doing Love Month with you. You know, I really try to. I don't get to talk about my stuff a lot because I want to focus on the guests. But with Love Month with you, I feel like we really get to go back and forth, and it's like very personal for me, and I really enjoy it. So,
Let me throw this in. I want to say how proud I am of you and of Jesse and of all of our kids, and how grateful I am that the afterglow of the relationship that you have seen with me and your mom has affected 100%. Your relationship with your lovely wife, Ashley, and Jesse found her angel in Pat. You found your angel in Ashley. Our two 100%. Little kids, they're not going to settle. They're not going to settle. They're going to find the absolute epic love of their life. And that just makes Missy and I feel just so humbled and proud that we were able to commit to that. Because Jordan, I didn't have that. I didn't have that personally. Missy had that, thank God, because she's the one that passed that down. Wow. But I didn't have that. And had I not met Missy, I would have never probably had that.
Jeez, man. That's powerful stuff. I'm honored to be sharing this with everyone now. So thank you, Lifebook members, for committing to an extraordinary life and an extraordinary love. And I hope you found today's podcast to be powerful and helpful in your journey.
Thanks so much, Jordan. It's been great to spend this time with you. Lifebookers, have a phenomenal month this month. Crank up that love relationship, and we'll see you next time.
On the Lifebook Member Podcast, have an extraordinary day. Bye-bye.